praise God, my sins are gone. Amen. Whatever else is wrong with me, my sins ain't going to put me in hell.
Amen.
Amen. That's something to shout about tonight, regardless of how the message goes. Amen. All right, let's get our Bibles out tonight. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Psalm. And let's stand, the book of Psalms, and turn to Psalm 104. Psalm 104, verse number 34. Psalm 104, verse number 34. I want you to notice what the psalmist says here. In Psalm 104, verse number 34. He says this. He says, "My meditation of him shall be sweet, and I will be glad in the Lord." The psalmist says, I'm going to be glad in the Lord. Tonight, with God's help, I want to preach on March gladness. Not March madness. March gladness. Now, this is. I don't usually watch college basketball all through the year, but I always, when it gets this time of the year, then I like to watch it. I won't keep up with no college basketball, but when it gets to this time, when the tournament starts, and by the way, it starts tonight, and I'm glad you're here in church, not watching it. And Alabama's in that thing, too. They're going to play tomorrow night, and that'll probably be a one and done for them because they'll probably get whipped. But anyway, they get the 64 teams in college basketball, and they put them in. And I've seen the number one seed get upset many a times in this thing. You just get one game. You get whipped, you get put out. I like March Madness, but not in the church. In the church, we need March gladness. Now, I want you to notice what the psalmist said. He said, I was glad. Again, let's see it, verse number 34. He said, I will be glad in the Lord. So we're just going to stay in the book of Psalms tonight and look at a few things that we ought to, out of the book of Psalms tonight, that we ought to be glad about concerning the Lord. Amen? Amen. Brother Dan, would you pray for this? You can be seated. Yes, Lord, help us, please.
You're not here.
Amen. 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 That's right.
Lord, we realize, God, that you are here. Lord,
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Please. Please. Yes, Lord. Amen. 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 Thank you. All right. Let's be seated. You know that the word glad or gladly or gladness, a form of the word glad, shows up about 144 times in your King James Bible. You know what it means to be glad? It means you're experiencing pleasure and joy and delight and happiness, just like you are right now to know that I'm preaching to you. Just real happy and all fired up and excited about it. Now, we just read this in this verse, Psalm 104, verse number 34. We read where the psalmist said that he's going to be glad in the Lord. And I want to begin tonight by saying this. Most folks are not glad about much of anything because they're trying to be glad in the world. There's not much in the world to be glad in. But there's something to be glad in when you talk about being glad in the Lord. And so that's what I want us to do tonight. Just look at about three or four different places in the book of Psalms where it talks about being glad about something that's in the Lord or about the Lord. That ought to be what makes us glad and happy in these sad days. We have some sad days down here, don't we? Sometimes it's March sadness. It's March madness. It ain't March gladness. But when we look in the Bible, we find some promises to us. God's people get his promises, and he tells us some things we ought to be glad about. Then it gives us some strength and energy, some spiritual energy that'll help us go through these bad times. So take your Bible, let's look at the first one, and turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32. Psalm chapter 32, and verse number 11. Notice what the psalmist says here in Psalm 32, 11. He says, "Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart." So he's saying, be glad you that are righteous. Now we know in the Old Testament sense, their righteousness was from sacrificing and doing what God told them to do. For us, what is our righteousness? Our righteousness is only through Jesus Christ. So What I want to say tonight, first of all, that we ought to be glad in is in the Lord's salvation. Amen. Do you know why you're righteous tonight? You're righteous through the blood of Christ. You're righteous because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You ought to be glad tonight. You ought to be glad tonight that you are saved and on your way going to heaven. If there's nothing else to be glad about tonight, you can be glad about that. You can be glad to say, I'm righteous before the Lord Jesus Christ. Not my filthy righteousness, but His righteousness. I'm righteous in His eyes. And notice what the psalmist says. A couple of things here. He said, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. You ought to rejoice about that. Notice what he said. And shout for joy. That's something to shout about. We ought to get excited about being saved. We ought to get excited about knowing that not my sins are gone. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound, the Bible said. My sins are taken care of. I'm righteous before the Lord. Because, listen, I'll tell you why you'll be happy about that. Because every one of us outside of Christ is unrighteous. The biggest problem you have in the world is not your bank account, not your health, and not what you're going to do on the job tomorrow, nothing else. The biggest problem you and I have in the world is we're sinners. And that problem affects us on this earth, and it affects us in eternity. And when I come to the cross and I get Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I've got my biggest problem I'll ever face. I've got it fixed. Amen. That's something to shout about. You know what that means? That means this. It means no matter what hell it pukes up on us, no matter what we go through in life, I'm going to be all right one day. Amen. Because the blood of Christ covers my sin. My sins are gone. We just sang about it. They're underneath the blood. I'm a righteous man, not because I'm a do-gooder, but because Christ is a do-gooder. He did good. He went to the cross and He shed His blood for me and you. Ought to be glad about that. Ought to be happy. Sometimes that's all you got to go on in life, man. Really, sometimes when the bottom falls out and things are happening and bad things are going on, like some of the families have been through in this church here in the last few months and some are going through right now, the main thing you can be glad about, because your gladness seems to go away when all this mess is going on, is just say, well, I'll tell you one thing. No matter how bad it gets here, bless God, I'm going to heaven when I die. I'm going to a place where there'll never be no more of this suffering and pain and struggles. Be glad and rejoice. There's another verse over there in the book of Psalms that says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. You know what mercy and, you know, there's mercy and grace are two different things. Grace is it's God's unmerited, undeserved favor that He has on us. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve what He done for us. Mercy is God not giving you what you do deserve. That's what mercy is. And God's merciful to us. He gave us righteousness we don't deserve. And He withholds the punishment of hell that we do deserve. We'll be glad about that. I'm serious about that. Some of you ought to shout every once in a while. It'll help you feel better. There's nothing wrong with running the bases in here and shouting. I wish some of you would take a lap or two. I wish some of you would throw a song book every once in a while. Not at nobody, but there's nothing wrong with helping yourself. That's not a charismatic thing. That's the shout of victory for the believer. We got something to shout about. And folks say, well, I'm just not very emotional. You might be more emotional than you think you are. Let me go out there with my pocket knife and cut your tire. We'll see how unemotional you are. Tell us about that unemotionalism that you had at your house when you and your wife were screaming that with millions of decibels high right before you got here. Ain't that funny how men and women do that? You fussing and fighting all the way to church and come in the door. Hey, Brother Dennis, how are you? You lowered it down, didn't you? No, you show emotion and you show excitement and you show zeal and always just on things that don't matter. If you want to shout about something, shout about the fact you're going to heaven when you die. Amen. I'm glad about it. Amen. All right, let's go to point number two, Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Just a few of these tonight. Won't be a long message, just something to encourage you. March gladness. Psalm 118, verse number 24. Psalm 118, verse number 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Be glad in the Lord's day. Now, doctrinally, if you read the context of this passage, this is a second Advent passage. This is the day of the Lord. And so there's a few people going to rejoice in the day of the Lord. Most of them won't. But devotionally, how we apply this is that God's given us another day to serve Him. We ought to be glad in it. We could look at life and say, well, you know, life's tough and life's bad. Or we can say, Lord, look, this is the day God gave me. I'm going to be glad and doing whatever I can for Him because I only have one lifetime to live for Christ. Do you realize that you only have one lifetime to do something for God? Only one. You're going to live one life, and some of you are going to live a short life. Some of you are going to live a very long life and then an average life. But you only got one lifetime to live by faith, one lifetime to show God that you love Him and to not deny yourself and all that stuff. You only got one lifetime to do that, and we have to do that now. Only one lifetime to do that. Only one. What's that poem? Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. There's a lot of truth to that. Amen. We need to rejoice in the day. It's another day to serve God. I know sometimes it's hard to have that perspective, ain't it? It's hard to look at it like that. We get to looking at what we're going through. We get to looking at all our problems, all our trials, all our struggles. And we don't look at it. This is another opportunity to do something for Christ, to deny ourselves, to suffer for Him, to show Him that we're not going to bail out on Him just because things aren't good, to show Him that we're going to love Him even when things are bad. You know, anybody can love Christ when everything's going like you want them to. But can we love Christ? Can we trust Christ? Can we be glad that He's given us another day to do something for Him when things ain't going good? That's the true test of Christian character, by the way. The true test of Christian character is how do you respond to Jesus Christ when things are going hitting the bottom, man? So we ought to be glad in the Lord's day. Be glad that it's another day that He's given us. Rejoice and be glad in it. Some of you, tell your face that you're rejoicing and being glad in it right now. I mean, I'm talking about being rejoicing and being glad. Some of you's looking at me like, you're going to bull rush the pulpit and kill me or something. This is something to be glad about. I'm not preaching about March Madness. I'm preaching about March gladness. Again, if you focus on all the negative. I know that I'm a fine one to be talking like this because I'm the one that looks at the cup and it's half empty, never half full. But if you focus on the negative, that's all you're ever going to see. We have to try to look for the better thing. We have to have, listen, we don't have confidence in ourselves, but we have confidence in the Lord. What's my confidence in the Lord? Well, the first thing I said, I know that no matter whatever happens, I'm going to heaven when I die. And the next thing I said, no matter how bad it is, the Lord has just given me another day. And with that another day He's given me, it's another opportunity to deny myself, to put myself down, to put Him ahead of myself, to try to live by faith, not walk by sight, walk by faith, trust Him, live for Him. It's another day to try to say, thank you, God, for the great salvation You've given me. Just another day. So I have to look at it like that. You ought to look at it like that. All right, look at the third one. Psalm 122. Psalm 122. Psalm 122 and verse number 1. Psalm 122 and verse number 1. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now again, this I believe refers to the temple. The doctrinal aspect of this passage is the temple in the millennium. And we don't have a temple that we go to. We have the local church where we go and we meet. We're a called out assembly. It's not the same emphasis that you had on the structure like you did in the Old Testament that you have now. We are the temple, the Bible says. The Holy Ghost lives within us. However, I believe if you want to make it a devotional application out of this, we ought to be glad when it's time to go to the house of the Lord. In that, we ought to be glad when it's time to come to church. That's another thing we ought to be glad about. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven when I die. I mean, I'm happy that God's given me another day to live for Him. And I'm happy because it's Wednesday and I can come to church. Anybody happy about that? Amen. Of all the places I used to would have been at this time or could have been, you could be in a hospital. Amen. You could be at home sick with the flu. A lot of people are probably still. I don't know. I guess it's still going around. But you're healthy enough to be here in the house of God with all these people that love you and a preacher that loves you and that you know is going to tell you the truth because he wants to help you. This is a great opportunity we have here and a church that still believes God's book. And you can still get some truth here and you can still have people that will pray for you and help you and support you. We have something here that a lot of people don't have. I don't see how people go through tragedy without having God's people around them. I'd hate to know that I had to go through a tragedy in my life like I see so many people go through, and they don't have God in their life, and they don't have nobody that loves God around them to help them. We have that here. This is a good thing to have. Amen. Ought to rejoice in it. Ought to be glad in it. Glad that I can go to the house of the Lord. Happy to have a good church to come to on Sundays and Wednesdays. I'm going to tell you something. The closer we get to the end of time and the closer we get to the return of Christ, you're going to have less and less of these type of places. Don't take this place for granted. Don't take this place for granted. I know people right now that drive 2 hours straight in one way, and some of them more than that, just to get to a Bible-believing work. And I know some people that within 6 hours rather, of their house in any way, they don't even have a Bible-believing work to go to. And we got a good one right here. We're not perfect. We all need a lot of prayer, don't we? We all need to get right with God more often, don't we? We're not perfect. Nobody says we are. But we got a good church. Amen. Anybody listening out there? We got a good church. And there's some good people in this church. And there's some people that love the Lord in this church. We ought to be glad we hooked up with Holy Hills Baptist Church. Whatever problems we got, man, I know we got them. But we're trying to go to Christ and help them, and Him help us get rid of them, ain't we? Ain't we trying to do that? We're trying to get less of us and more of Him. We want to decrease in the church and in our lives and have Christ increase, don't we? Amen. We got a good church. We ought to be glad in that. You ought to be glad on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights and Wednesday nights when you ought to jump up and say, hey, I get to go to church again. Amen. And if the message is a flop, I know the piano play is going to be good. And we're gonna sing, and we're going to do some praying, and I'm going to get to go to Sunday school, and I'm going to get to hear some good teaching. And there's going to be people there that if I'm troubled about something and I'm bothered about something, I can go to them, and they'll put their arms around me and pray with me. I need that. I'm not going to run my mouth out and say, oh, I don't need nobody. You ever hear people talk like that? Maybe some of you talk like that. I'm not going to say that. I do need people. I can't make it on my own. I know technically, doctrinally, all a man needs is Christ. I've preached that here, in fact, and that's true. But I'm talking about in your everyday life and the practical way you live, we need people. But we need good people. We need like-minded people. We need people that love us. We need people that care about us. We need people that will overlook us when we don't always act right. Ain't that what a church family does? You have to overlook one another. If we can't overlook one another, then we won't be glad. We will be mad. You know, when he said, let's go to the house of the Lord, it didn't say I was mad when he said go there. It didn't say I was sad when he said go there. It didn't say I was bad when I went there. He said I was glad. You ought to be glad. I hope that you'll get up a Sunday morning, maybe look at church like you've never looked at it before. Hope you get up Sunday morning and say, you know what? Praise the Lord, hallelujah, this is a good day to go to church. I don't even know what's going to happen. Brother Dennis may really be on it. He's probably going to turn red. He's probably going to hit the pulpit. He's going to do everything but cuss us. But listen, it's going to help us. I know it's going to help us. And I'm going to get to sit in Sunday school, and I'm going to learn something new, and then we're going to get to sing, and maybe we're going to have a good special, and we're going to enjoy on that. And I'm going to leave here in better shape spiritually than when I came. I'm going to leave here lifted up. Boy, it's good to have a local church. I'm telling you right now, before I move on to my last deal here, I'm glad I'm in a good church. I'm glad I'm in a church with people that's like-minded like me. I'm glad I'm in a church with people I can befriend. Now listen, I know as your pastor, I have to keep some distance because as a pastor, you don't want to get so familiar with people that it breeds contempt. And they no longer look at you as a pastor. But I want to tell you something about me that I probably haven't been here long enough for you to know this. I don't want to just preach to you. I want to be part of it. I have a house out there on Bonnie Core Road. All you got to do is call. I'm like Brother Jimmy Cutler. Now, I'd like for some of you to come see me. I really would. I tell you what, if you have a barbecue and if you want to invite me to it, I'll probably come. If I'm going to live here and I'm going to die here or whatever God wants me to do, then I want to be. I don't just want to be your preacher. I want to be your pastor. A fellow doesn't get the right to preach Sunday after Sunday if he can't be your pastor. I want to be your pastor, and I want you to be glad to say, okay, we got a pretty good preacher, Brother Dennis. Man, he's fearless. He'll tell it like it is. Man, he'll. Hey, boy, he'll rip and roar, and he ain't scared to preach against anything. Okay, that's fine. But that's not all I want you to know me as. I want you to know me as Brother Dennis is a fellow that when I was down and had my weakest moment, I went to his office, and he prayed with me. He showed compassion on me, and I could tell that he really loved me, and he's trying to help me. And Brother Dennis is my friend. No, we're probably not ever going to be friends like best buddies, because there is that pastor relationship with his church. But I want you to look at me as part of you. It's not me and then laity. It's us. And we're together. And I want you to look at everybody around in here tonight. You know, look at each other and say, you know what? We are together here. We're on the same side. And I'm glad tonight to have a church to go to. And I'm glad tonight to have these friends sitting by me. And I'm glad tonight that we come in here together. Maybe we can leave together. And you ought to be glad about that. And you say, yeah, but you don't know. You're probably right, because a pastor is always the last one to know about things. There's probably all kind of messed up mess going on in this church I don't know about. Who cares? It goes on in every church. Every church I ever pastored, there was always something going on like that. You're not going to find a perfect church. When you do, go and join it, then it won't be perfect anymore. There's probably something going on all the time. That's just the way people are. But we got something to be glad about here. We ought to be happy what God's given us here. And I got one more tonight. Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse number 2. We'll read this whole psalm. That way you can say you read a whole chapter of Bible today. The main verse is verse number 2. We'll read the whole thing. Glad in the Lord's service. Notice what he says, Psalm 100, verse number 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Now doctrinally again, this passage is going to be fulfilled in the millennium. There'll be a temple in the millennium. And I believe that's doctrinally mostly what this is talking about. Devotionally again, we ought to be glad that God allows us to serve him. You see that in verse number 2? Serve the Lord with what?
Gladness.
We used to have a song. I guess it may be a Southern Baptist song. I don't only remember it in a Southern Baptist hymn. When we used to sing it, serve the Lord with gladness. Any of you ever heard that song? Enter his courts with praise. Dun, 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 dun. I can't remember the rest of it. Any of you ever heard that song besides two or three of us? That's a good song. It's serve the Lord with gladness. We ought to do that. You ought to serve them with gladness. You ought to smile when you serve them. When my brother Mark's up there playing that good check right music, you ought to just be happy and smiling when you're slinging that money in there. Amen. That's right. You ought to be happy when you're serving the Lord. It's not something you ought to do grudgingly. It's not something you ought to say, boy, I can't. Woe is me. I have to serve the Lord. Woe is me, I have to go to church. Woe is me, I have to read my Bible, I have to pray. Woe is me, I have to try to deny myself. You ought to be happy serving the Lord. You ought to be happy that God's given you something to do. You have a purpose. We went over that Sunday night. The missionary told you your meaning in life. What is my purpose for life? To bring pleasure to him. God put us down here on this earth to bring honor and glory and pleasure to him. And when we do that, we've done what God put us down here to do. And the reason so many people are not happy is they're not fulfilling their purpose in being here. And when the man or the woman lives their life to bring honor and glory to God. They're fulfilling their purpose for being here, and they'll be happier than they've ever been. I mean that. I know that for a fact. God made us. Three things that he says here in this passage, if we get ready to close tonight. It says, God made us. We didn't make him. Amen to that. Verse number three, he says, we are his sheep. So God made us. He owns us. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. And the Lord is good, verse number five. That's why we ought to serve him with gladness, because he made us and he owns us and he's our leader and he's good to us. How could you not want to serve a God that's so good to you? Well, to be glad to serve him. Well, to be glad when he says there's anything we can do, we can do. We'll do it. You know, when you sometimes you don't see where a preacher comes from and how he gets there. And I reckon all people see sometimes is now, you know, 3, 2, 1, we got the spotlight and Brother Dennis steps up and the cameras is on him. What you don't see is where I started years ago when I came back to the Lord and repented and told him I was sorry for living like the devil all those teenage years. At 18, the first few things I did, you know what they were? Clean the church, scrub the toilets, carry out the garbage. Then I finally got a class to teach. Then I set up under a preacher because I didn't know anything and tried to learn something. Then I went to Bible college, tried to learn something because I didn't know anything. And then I come out of that and did some preaching and people let me fill in. And finally, one day, God gave me my first church with 35 people. You see that? You see what you do? You show the Lord now. You show the Lord that I just want to serve you. And I believe it's an honor that you didn't ask me to do anything. And if you want me to come preach, see, I preached to hundreds and hundreds at one time. And I preached to just a handful at one time. I remember one night I went to got invited to go to a church. There were seven there that night. We had a pretty good service because four of them came to the altar. pretty good statistics, ain't it? You just say, Lord, I don't care if it's out there scrubbing the toilet, carrying the garbage out. It's better than being on my way to hell. It's better than not having a purpose. It's better than drinking myself to death and doping myself to death and having no friends and no family and no hope. And everything I've got tonight because of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm glad if he says, go take out the garbage. Thank you, Lord Jesus, I've got something to do for you. I'm not just talking, I did that. I did it. And then the Lord says, you know what, you're going to be faithful in a few things. I might try you out in something a little bit bigger. You're happy to serve me in just the minute small thing. I may give you a little bit more to do. But if you gripe and bellyache and you're not glad about doing the little thing, why do you think God ought to promote you, see? He ought not to. Well, let's quickly, that's getting negative. Because this message is about March gladness. Everybody glad? Now, those are some things. We started out tonight where he said, I'm going to be glad in the Lord. I'm glad in his day. I'm glad in his house. I'm glad in his service. I'm glad in him. Those are some things we ought to be glad in. You ought to be happy. You ought to be pleasing yourself in the Lord. So what you need to do tonight when you leave, you need to say, you know what? The reason I've been so miserable here lately and the reason I don't feel so good is I'm trying to be glad and happy and receive pleasure through sources that's not going to give it to me. Don't turn on the news. That ain't going to do nothing for you. Don't try to get in some worldly way. It's just temporary. Be glad and that the Lord's given you salvation. Be glad he's given you a book. He's given you a good church. He's given you a place to come worship. He's given you a day to serve him. He's given you a life to live for him. Be glad in this church that no matter what happens to me right now, one day it's going to all be over and I'm going to live with my Savior forever, never, 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 and we'll be glad forever. It won't be March gladness. It'll be eternal gladness. Amen? Amen. Every head bowed and eye closed tonight.